Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Prime Time on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Prime Time is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Today's show is live from the Moda Center with Isaac and Suk. It's the 11th consecutive year that the Nike Hoop Summit is here in Portland. It features the top U.S. senior high school players against the top international players 19 years of age or younger. The game is tonight. Fran Fraschilla from ESPN is here covering it, and he'll be up with us in about 25 minutes. We've got some sports snorts for you in our next segment.
Ooh, a little potpourri on a Friday, if you will.
A little bit of a potpourri. The Forbes MLB valuations are out. Also, I want to tell you how much Michelle Beadle is getting paid. Have you seen the ads for their new show on ESPN?
Yeah.
Get Up.
Yes.
Well, it's her.
It's going on right now. It's been going on for about a week or so.
Yes.
And it has not been well received.
Really?
No.
How do you know that?
Because there's been articles written about it that the ratings are abysmal, they're paying a lot of money for it, and that people are making fun of it.
Have you watched it at all?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. Like when I get up in the morning to take my kids to school, as I'm making breakfast, I'll flip it on.
I have not seen it.
And so it's been on in the background a little bit. I saw like Jalen Rose. They were going through the Chris Webber timeout. It was the 20th or 25th anniversary of that. So I've seen little different bits, but I haven't sat down to watch the. In the morning, I'm usually running around doing stuff. I'm not really stationary to watch one thing.
So it's her, Jalen Rose, and then Mike Greenberg.
Yes.
And they're dumping a lot of money into it.
Yes, so they are.
We'll get into that next segment. Fran Fraschilla, also a little more on the Blazers-Pelicans. Get you ready for game one tomorrow. Coming up in the club, since it's Friday the 13th, I just have a freaky story for you. It's kind of cool.
Ghost story?
No. Well, I mean, kind of. Just a freaky story.
All right. You ever had
it's about a headless chicken.
Rob Headless Chicken? Is this from Salina, Kansas?
No.
I don't have any cool ghost stories.
Well,
I got nothing.
Is that because ghosts don't exist, you think?
I say like Mike's family has like a bunch of like cool, like freaky stories. I don't have a lot of that. I have like one involving my dog where it was a little creepy when my kid was born, and that's about it.
All right. It is 5:06. Time for the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
Refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Download the reward app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences, game tickets, and rewards.
Number five.
Well, we'll start with baseball. Only two American League teams have given up more runs so far than the A's. Oakland's in Seattle tonight, taking on the Mariners for the first of three. Seattle is 6-4. The best team to date is your Mets.
Yes, 10-1.
Do you know what that's on pace for? Can you do the math real quick?
No, what is that?
147-15.
I think that'd be some sort of record.
The Red Sox are also strong. They're 10-2. Angels 11-3. Also, the new pace of play rules are having positive effects. Mound visits, which exclude pitching changes, have been cut in half. Also, game lengths are down, as is the length of time taken for challenges and instant replay.
Do we know what's the average here through, 12, 13 games?
You know, you'd think I'd have that.
I just was wondering. I mean, I saw that, too. I saw that they were down. I read something on that, but I didn't actually see in the article. It just said they were down. I didn't see what they were down by. Like 3 minutes, 4 minutes?
Probably something quite insignificant.
I know. I always laugh at that when they're like, oh, we can reduce the time by 7 minutes. Great.
Dwight Howard claims another. Steve Clifford, his head coach, fired.
He gone.
By the Charlotte Hornets. Just 36 wins this season. There are now 6 NBA coaching vacancies. Charlotte, Orlando, Memphis, Milwaukee, New York, and Phoenix.
So are we going to get a bunch of retreads or a bunch of guys that you've never heard of, and then Jay Wright will get $12 million to come coach the Knicks?
Well, you're going to get Fizdale. He'll get a job. Yeah. I think Mark Jackson could come back. I don't see Van Gundy doing anything.
Kurt Rambis?
He got fired.
Jason Kidd?
Rambis was an assistant somewhere with one of those guys that got turfed.
Larry Brown?
Oh, God, Larry Brown.
I just like to believe that the Knicks are going to sit down with Jay Wright, and this is how the negotiations are going to go. I'm going to write a number on this piece of paper and slide it over to you. It's going to be most unfair, and you will pay me that, or I'm going back to Villanova. I mean, that guy could get an ass ton of money.
Also, they're saying the Hawks coach, Mike Budenholzer, has been given permission to speak with the Suns. So, I guess he's from Arizona. All right, where are we? Number 3, Steve Kerr says the Warriors will be without Steph Curry for their first-round playoff series against the Spurs. Curry says he wants to play, and there is a reevaluation coming, but it's likely going to be Quinn Cook for that series. Meanwhile, there is no sign of Kawhi Leonard. He has not been with the Spurs in months, and there's no update on his condition. And, of course, Kerr said he'd be shocked if Kawhi Leonard played. So Game 1 in Oakland tips off the NBA playoffs. That will be tomorrow, noon our time. Blazers are a 5.5-point favorite in Game 1 against the Pelicans tomorrow night. That'll be here at 7:30. And one East injury note, the Sixers have ruled Joel Embiid out for Game 1 against Miami.
But he will play at some point in the series. A lot of people think Game 2. He had that broken eye bone.
Number two. I feel like that would hurt.
Number two. Yeah, I can't imagine that would feel really good. And I think it's more of a matter of you don't want to get hit again. And I think the pain thing is manageable, but you take another elbow in that thing and, you know, you lose an eye.
Chip Kelly has been hot after graduate transfers at UCLA, namely quarterbacks. He missed out on KJ Carter-Samuels, who chose Colorado State. He also whiffed on Arizona transfer Brandon Dawkins, who this last week chose Indiana. But now Chip has landed a quarterback. Former Michigan starter Wilton Spate is going to transfer to the Bruins, and he will be eligible right away.
Well, you think about UCLA is all their quarterbacks on their roster are all, you know, kind of pro-style guys.
So except for that incoming freshman we talked about.
Yeah,
his name's Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
A lot of people think he may end up being the starter because, again, they're changing, you know, over the roster, you know, completely from, you know, a more and more of a pro style attack to obviously what Chip wants to do. And, you know, that can be a big factor of when you change over schemes like that is quarterback play.
Stop now. Let's do it.
That's it, baby. Shot it from the rooftops.
America's number one fighting force.
Number one.
My number one fan.
Number one.
Number one.
Yeah, Spate, he gets compared to Ben Roethlisberger. But when he was at Michigan, he did play 21 games, but he just was unable to stay healthy. And then he got Wally Pipped by a younger guy. And then they brought in Shea Patterson, too, down there, who's the Ole Miss transfer. So Wilton Spate goes to UCLA. And number one is that the Dallas Cowboys are moving on from Dez Bryant. The wide receiver has been released. Saves Dallas $8.5 million against the cap. He averaged just 52 yards a game last year while being paid $13 million.
Cap hit a $16 million this year he was going to cost them. He gone.
Yeah, and, you know, I saw somebody comparing his stats to Allen Hurns, who's the wide receiver that they signed.
From Jacksonville.
Virtually identical numbers now.
Yeah.
But Dez Bryant is not elite anymore. He'll be 30 years old this upcoming season. Dallas made the right move here, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. Dez Bryant's numbers basically are cut almost in half when you look at Dez Bryant from, what, 2013, 2014 when he was at his peak. No one's doubting that Dez Bryant was a great player, but he is only elite now in name alone. And so, you know, he'll be a nice piece for someone if he's willing to take less money. But he is no longer a $10 million a year receiver, especially when you consider the fact that he's a pain in the ass off the field. A
couple of other NFL notes. Mark Sanchez got popped for four games for violating the league's performance-enhancing drug policy.
On the plus side, he doesn't have a team right now, so he doesn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, he's a free agent. He says it was a supplement contamination.
Of course.
Because he had clean tests 30 days before and 12 days after his positive test. Also, the Seahawks have signed two guys, quarterback Stephen Morris and kicker Sebastian Janikowski.
Who will never go away. Seabass will kick in this league forever, and apparently that whole Colin Kaepernick thing, you don't need him anymore.
Am I wrong that the Sebastian Janikowski signing is good? Because I see that. If I'm a Seahawks fan, I'm like, yes. Dude, that guy, he's awesome.
He's not awesome.
Well, okay, he's not awesome. But he can
he's got
still
a,
kick.
He's got a big leg, but he is like, if you look at his numbers, he is the definition of average.
Have you seen the Seahawks kickers?
Yes, I have.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, I'm just saying that Sebastian Janikowski is not the answer to your problems. On the plus side, Seattle has a lot bigger problems than kicker.
Well, maybe they can pull a Tampa Bay and draft a kicker in the second round or something.
Was that Robert? Was it Aguayo or whatever?
All right. The Hot 5 and 5, refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Download Coors Light's new rewards app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences, even game tickets. Some sports snorts coming up next, including how much Michelle Beadle makes. That'll make you puke. And then Fran Fraschilla from ESPN will drop by. It's 5:14, the Nike Hoops Summit. We're at the Moda Center on The Fan.
Live from the Moda Center, site of the 2018 Nike Hoop Summit, this is Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up in our next segment, Fran Fraschilla stops by, and he will tell us the story of Bol Bol's brother named Chris Mullenbol.
I have a hard time wrapping my head around that.
Isn't it amazing?
Someone said, is there another brother named Tom Gugliotta Bol?
Maybe there is. I don't know. So Fraschilla coming up in our next segment, covering a little bit of the Nike Hoop Summit, but also want to ask him if he thinks the FBI scandal is really, really going to create change in college basketball, because
or if we just
at this point
we just brush it off.
I'm a little skeptical. A few sports snorts for you as we wrap up the week here. The Forbes Major League Baseball valuations came out. I always love these.
I saw the Mariners were like middle of the road.
Yeah, they were middle of the pack. The Yankees are worth $4
billion. Yeah. I mean, they're obviously number one.
So what do you suppose they would sell for?
Probably six.
I think more than that.
I mean,
the mighty Yankees?
Yeah. I mean, you're just, it's, that's a license to print money.
So Potter asked me this on Twitter. What would, if Portland got a team,
mm-hmm.
let's say they got an expansion team, what would them with a new stadium be worth?
Well, it wouldn't be a huge stadium, and you've got one of the smaller markets.
I guess what, $1.25 billion.
What are the Mariners? Were they 1.6 something?
Yeah, they were up there. I pictured them more around the A's.
Yeah.
$1 billion to $1.25 billion sort
better,
of valuation.
But with a better stadium than obviously what's down in Oakland. And if the team owned the stadium and got the revenue for it, yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, just a pure guess, but, you know, in that 1.1, 1.2 range.
So let's bring Mike on here. Lynch, are you paying attention at all?
Yes.
Can you explain something?
Boy, that's
to
an
me?
Upset. Not going to lie.
That is an upset. I need an explanation. What is the hashtag IamGary all about? Now, this is Gary Sanchez of the Yankees. What's going on there?
So his tweets, at least when he first came into the league, he started every, or he ended every tweet with hashtag LGary, and every tweet was in Spanish. And then he would do an English version, and his English version hashtag was hashtag IamGary. So instead of, like, LGary is kind of like the Gary, right? In Spanish.
Yeah.
But then he changes it to IamGary in English, and I just think it is the most hilarious hashtag of all time that he signs every tweet hashtag IamGary.
I'm going to start doing that. El Rapo. Hashtag El Rapo.
El Rapo.
What do you think, Swigart? The Rop? Huh? Yeah, he says I need to get about 20 pounds every. What? That's. Am I a little Can I dislike Gary Sanchez because of this?
Yeah, you can't dislike him.
I can't?
No.
Why?
This is great.
It's hilarious. Come on.
He signs all of it, I am Gary?
No, it's a bit or he's serious?
I think he's
It sounds...
I think he is mistyping, or I guess not mistyping, but changing it to English incorrectly from L. Gary.
But yeah, but wait a minute. Time's out.
I kind of want him to sign it L. Gary.
Yeah, I was going to say, timesies. L. Gary means the Gary. He was whether he mistyped it in English, he was still hashtagging
no,
the Gary.
No, you're not allowed to not like this.
What the hell?
You should immediately like Gary Sanchez more that he's signing it the Gary.
I dislike Gary
the
Sanchez.
The Rop?
El Rapo?
I'm only going to call you now the Rop.
Please
when
do.
When anyone discusses our show, yeah, the Rop is pretty good.
The name of my fantasy baseball team this year is hashtag I am Gary.
See, I was treading lightly. I was going to ask you about it because I thought maybe it was like a charity thing or a bit he was doing or something. It's not.
No?
Gary loves him some Gary. It's a little LeBron James-esque.
Yeah.
Is it not? I mean, what's he going to do? Write it on the back of his shoes when he catches?
I hope
hashtag
so.
I am Gary?
I hope so.
God.
Remember, was it the NBA that allowed, or no, it was Major League Baseball that allowed the nicknames on for one day last year. Remember, baseball did that?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll do it again this year, and then he can have I am Gary on the back of his jersey.
Oh, my God.
I think that's fantastic.
I told you that Michelle Beadle is making a lot of money doing that Get Up show on ESPN.
Yes.
Care to guess what her per year is?
Per year? I know it's a lot. I think Gruden, they said, was the highest at ESPN at like seven. So I'll go like $2.5 million.
$5 million. And I like Michelle Beadle.
Wow.
I think she's really good.
Michelle Beadle on Twitter, by the way, is one of the best follows. I love me some Michelle Beadle.
She's great. Got a good personality.
$5 million?
She's hot. You know,
damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. She's making
fun.
And Mike Greenberg's making $6.5 million for that show.
Good Lord.
And I don't know what Jalen Rose is making, probably a couple mil, right? So it's
expensive show.
Dude, that's a 15. That could be let's just be conservative, a $12.5 million a year show.
And it's not doing so well.
After they laid off like 800 people.
And it has not been well received.
What are they doing?
They're throwing a lot of money.
I'll tell you what, man, these TV wars, I don't get it. I really don't get
it.
Well,
I guess Fox took it all in the shorts. They spent all that money to go get, like, Skip Bayless and all these guys.
Cowherd.
Yeah, and it didn't.
It's working. They're beating ESPN. I guess that means it's working.
A lot of that didn't move the needle.
Yeah, but ESPN used to be the only one.
Yeah.
It is not anymore.
No.
You know, I mean, they've carved a dent into their whatever you call it.
Monopoly, if you will?
Their share, their market share.
Well, I want to be Michelle Beadle, or more importantly, I want to be Michelle Beadle's man.
I want to be on Michelle
Beadle. Is she single, and is she looking for a house husband?
I don't know. I don't know. She's had quite a run. She's kind of been all over the place. She was with Colin for a while on that show. And
does she like a bald ex-offensive lineman from Vancouver?
You should DM her.
What's up, Michelle?
That's what everybody does now.
Is that what it's all about?
Just DM, hashtag TheSook.
Slide into some DMs. Who was the ESPN gal that was hitting on me at the national title game?
Holly Rowe.
Yeah, that's not quite the same thing.
She wants you.
It doesn't. I believe that's a bit of a downgrade in overall, just from salary to everything. I feel like that's
salary.
Yeah, I don't think Holly Rowe.
She makes good dough.
I don't think Holly Rowe's making $5 million a year.
Well, listen.
I just think that's the level where I'm at, and Michelle Beadle is at a different level.
Yeah, you're not getting Michelle Beadle.
No.
However, you could have had Holly Rowe. Now, let's revisit this for a moment before we get Fran Fraschilla up here, because I never thought about this, but you are now single. At the time, you were not. But now that you are, why not maybe rekindle that flame?
I'm all right.
Why?
I'm okay.
Holly Rowe's hot, man.
Yeah, I'm all right.
You didn't like what Holly Rowe was bringing to the table? She sure liked what you were bringing to the table.
I'm good.
I saw love in the air. I saw it. I sat next to it. I felt it.
I'm going to stick with my German nanny.
Holly Rowe's salary. See how much she makes. She'll probably take care of you.
I don't think it's
she
five.
She makes more than you, I'll tell you that.
I don't think it's $5 million a year. Boy, it's good to be Michelle Beadle.
You know how old she is?
No.
51.
Oh, see, it's...
Is that right out for you?
It's a little old for me, too.
You're an ageist?
Yeah, she wanted to review film.
Says she's worth a mil.
Hey, good for her.
Yeah. That's not impressive.
I'm worth more dead than I am alive.
She's worth more than you.
Oh, yeah. I'm worth like 8 cents.
Okay, so let's break. Fran Fraschilla's coming up here. I think Swigard just went and got him.
He's bird dogging.
Yeah, look at him. There he is. Fran Fraschilla waddles. You see that?
Bird dogging swag. Bird dogging.
Guy down there. He's a former college basketball coach. Coached with New Mexico.
He's got some of that Dana Altman hair. That's brush hair.
He looks like a basketball.
You don't get that hair with a comb.
He knows everybody.
Yeah, that's a brush.
All right, so we're live at the Nike Hoop Summit here at the Moda Center. Fran Fraschilla joins us next on 1080 The Fan. Here's Mike.
Go to our grocery and grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light. Coors Light, whatever your mountain, climb on. It's the USA against the world. Live from the Moda Center, site of tonight's Nike Hoop Summit. This is Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, the Nike Hoop Summit is coming up live here on The Fan After Us. Coverage begins with Jason Swigard and Dusty Hara live from the Moda Center in about an hour. We're pleased to be joined now by ESPN's Fran Fraschilla, former college basketball coach who is now covering the Nike Hoop Summit here and covers college basketball. You hear him all throughout the college basketball season. And we were just talking, Fran, that, man, you do have a great gig. You know, these and this has only been in the last, 10, 15 years where mm-hmm. coaches can get out of the grind of coaching but still stay in the game and make a good salary broadcasting. I'm not surprised that, well, Gruden went back now, but, a lot of coaches stay, they never go back to coaching. They stay in broadcasting.
It depends on your outlook. Like some guys I know, and it's true in football too, they can't stay away from the competition. And so that's why you see guys, there are guys that always want to go back from broadcasting to coaching. Gruden obviously picked the right opportunity. In my case, I was a young guy. I was a head coach at 32 or 33. And my last coaching gig, I was 43, 16 years ago. So I had plenty of chances to go back to coaching the last 16 years. But I found something I really love. Don't make quite the money, but I make a great living at ESPN. And I got to really watch my two sons grow up. I know that sounds kind of, you hear that a lot, but I started to think about, wait a minute, don't mess with happy. I got a great job, got a great lifestyle. I live in Dallas, Texas, which is a great city, which is even better if you're from New York City because, it's a great place to live. But in all honesty, I'm a basketball junkie if you haven't ever figured that out on TV. I love what I do. I'm around the game, Souk, every single day. Every single day I'm doing something with basketball. And then I get to come out here at courtside and watch a lot of guys that are going to be in college next year, and I'll call their games there, and then I'll watch them in the NBA. And it's fun.
Yeah, it's interesting. You actually have a healthy perspective on that. So much of the college game now, or whether college or NBA or NFL or NCAA, I'm not going to say that coaches hate their families or anything like that, but it seems like with the money and on the line now, it seems all-encompassing, and that a lot of the people that are really successful, it really does eat away at every – Urban Meyer almost died.
Yes.
It really does eat away to where there really is nothing left other than, as you said, the competition.
Yeah, and you know what? Nowadays, especially at the power conference level, these guys are making enormous amounts of money. But I don't know that I would have gone back to that level, although I did coach at that level at St. John's and then, New Mexico. But I just came to a peace of mind, if you will, that I just wanted to see my family and watch my kids grow up. And I have a lot of friends who are still doing this at a high level who wish they could trade places with me, but they're in great schools, they're making great money, and at the end of the day, I feel like I'm an ambassador for the game. I'm not afraid to be critical of things that happen on the court. This whole recruiting scandal bugs the daylights out of me. Yeah. But at the same time, I love the game. I love talking about players, and I love promoting the game when it needs to be promoted.
Let's go to the recruiting scandal, and then we'll get that done.
Yes.
And then we'll go to what's happening here tonight. But you have such a unique perspective being a coach and being around the game. And I told you off the air, I'm a Kansas fan, so I'm sweating bullets.
Yep.
And I think all fans are sweating bullets.
Yeah.
Is it possible at all that coaches the head coaches don't know what was going on with the Adidas and the payments to some of these kids and their families?
It's possible. On the other hand, most of us who've coached, and I would put my hand up on this one, we're micromanagers by nature. It's just how you – most coaches are successful because they want to know about every little detail in their program. So there probably are some plausible deniability issues that, you know, get this done. I don't want to know about it. But the NCAA has recently put a bylaw in with regard to that that says – and this happened at Louisville – even if the coach allegedly doesn't know, if anybody in the staff has broken rules, the head coach gets punished. So my take on this is the feds are involved, so we're going to really know stuff. Because the NCAA is like, they're like the mall rental cops. They're like Barney Fife.
True.
And you know, those guys. Blart, I believe,
was the name you were looking for.
Yeah. So the fact that the feds are involved, this is serious business. When the time comes that people have been caught, I say throw the book at them. My philosophy on this is one guy cheats, the other guy loses his job. It's true. If this guy is cheating and he's getting better players than me and I don't want to break the rules, and I've seen this happen, then I lose my job.
Wasn't it almost then, it almost becomes a necessary evil then to do it, because if you're at a job, you're making $3 million a year,
yeah,
and the guy next to you is making $3 million a year, and you've got 1 or 2 years to turn it around, and you know what he's doing. It's just, it's hard for me to believe that there are a number of big-name programs that are choosing to do it, quote, the right way, when there's so many that are doing it
okay
this way.
Well, I would say let's eliminate the mid-majors and the low majors.
Yeah.
Let's say the power conferences.
They don't have the money.
Yeah, they don't have the money. They don't necessarily – they're not playing in that
– Yeah.
Swimming
in that deep end.
In that deep end, yeah. There are a lot of guys that are very happy with being able to put their head on the pillow at night. And I hate to mention names, but I will. I don't think Mike Bray at Notre Dame is ever going to commit an NCAA major one violation. Honestly, don't think – John Beilein is at Michigan. He's made clear how meticulous they are about recruiting. And Michigan got to the final this year, which is more about his great coaching. But the reality is a lot of the coaches who don't want to do that, don't want to break the rules, say, I hope my AD's good with us winning X amount of games, go in the NCAA tournament, and maybe we go to the Sweet 16 every now and then. Because if that's not the standard and you're forced to go further than that, then the coach who's not cheating is in trouble. There's a lot of guys not doing it the wrong way. They're doing it the right way, but they wish they could. The playing field would be a little bit
sure.
level.
Yeah. But if you're in on an elite kid,
yes,
you have to play that game, right?
Or you don't.
Or you don't get them.
You don't get them. Yeah. Well, you know, a perfect example is, and I told you off the air, I've got a younger son who's at Villanova, but if you look at their team this year, Jalen Brunson was heavily recruited, but he sort of had a tie to Villanova because his father played at Temple. They know Philly, and it was a good fit for him. He was a top 20 player. The rest of that team were all guys from 50 to 150.
Right.
And it just turns out that a guy like Mikal Bridges, who, by the way, redshirted as a freshman, is going to be a lottery pick this year, and they've redshirted a lot of guys. So you can do it the right way at a lot of places when you do find yourself up against a competitor that's doing it the wrong way. You gotta get out.
Yeah, the one and done's, it's different than the way that you know, you look at Villanova and some of the, you mentioned the mid majors that are having kids there that are 2, 3, 4 years.
And it's, you know, again, I don't want to accuse anybody of doing it until the FBI says these guys did it, and then when that happens, then we'll see how it all shakes out. But I've been clear about the fact that cheating is unfair. It just is.
Yeah. You know. But in college basketball circles, you know who. I mean, the reputation.
You think you do, and you want to, but you can't. You know, everybody says, how come you didn't turn anybody in? Well, you don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But now, and partly because the NCAA never had the authority, the subpoena power, to pull somebody into some court somewhere. Now, when we're dealing with the FBI and and the Justice Department, we got some serious things going on.
This is ESPN's Fran Fraschilla with us here on The Fan. Nike Hoop Summit coming up tonight. Now, Bol Bol is a kid a lot of our listeners are interested
yes.
in because of, he's going to Oregon. Now, he has. I saw this on your Twitter feed. He has a brother named Chris Mullen Bol.
I swear. Well, here's the deal. Manute, and I never really got to meet him. I did see him. But when he played at Golden State, he became very close friends with Chris Mullen, who's actually a guy from my neighborhood in New York City.
Yeah, St. John's, yeah.
And I coached at St. John's also. But I've known Chris since he was 14. So Chris was telling me the story. He goes, Manute and I were really close. And I guess he was that kind of personality. And that's why he was so popular as an NBA player, Manute, until he tragically passed away a few years ago. But Manute named one of his kids Chris Bold. Chris. And its middle name is Mullen. Chris Mullen.
All right.
So that is a true story. There's no fake news on my Twitter.
I love it. So what's Bol Bol all about? Give us the scouting report.
Yeah, you know what? He's really an interesting player. 10% of his game are things that that take your breath away. You go, wow, I can't believe he just did that. I can't believe he just reached over a 6'10 guy without fouling him, grabbed it, and then he went back and dunked right over him. So that's the 10%. That's the wow factor. The 90% is catching it in the post, guy getting triple teamed, getting bumped, losing the ball, and that's going to have to come around. But he's very talented. He will have an immediate impact at Oregon. I'm just telling you. He's not just a big, tall guy. He has some skill. He's got to get stronger. Dana knows how to. He had Chris Boucher, who people compare this kid to. This kid's, I think, bigger and more athletic. This kid's going to have an impact at Oregon next year.
How raw is it when you see this, tonight? There are NBA guys here left and right. You look at
yes.
the guys that have played in this thing. But when we watch this, is there a difference between the world team and the U.S. as far as, quote-unquote, just basketball IQ or raw athletes?
Well, I thought you were going a different direction, Sue, so I'm going to answer your question first. Most of the world team, it's a little different the last 3 or 4 years. There's not as many international men of mystery in this game because a lot of these world team kids are now kids, even if they're from Nigeria or Canada, they're playing high school basketball in the States. It used to be when Tony Parker, Dirk Nowitzki, Nick Batum, who was here, obviously, Nick played in this game. These kids were kids who came from overseas and nobody knew about them. But the world team is actually very talented. It's going to be a pretty evenly matched game. But I thought you were going to go a different direction. These kids here, when they play in college next year, they're going to be the equivalent of double-A baseball. So they're still a long way from the NBA. Think about this as single-A baseball tonight. Like these kids, of the 20 guys or so that are out here, there's probably at least 10 NBA players here. But it's going to take 2, 3. In some cases they'll be one and dones, but there'll be guys that go to college for 3 and 4 years out here that you'll say, hey, I remember when he played in the Nike Hoop Summit. So the talent level is very high. There's not a single guy out here tonight that's going to have an impact on an NBA team in 2 seasons.
Who's the best player here?
That is a good question. The guy with the biggest rep is RJ Barrett from Canada, and he's going to Duke next year. I would say the best, I'm going to make you feel good, the best player here, I think, is Quentin Grimes going to Kansas.
Yeah, okay.
Out of Houston. And tremendous guard. Bill Self compares him to Deron Williams, who he coaches at Illinois, who wound up had a long NBA career.
Fran Fraschilla with us, ESPN. So a lot of people they take exception to this being compared to the McDonald's game. Why is that?
Well,
how is this different?
It is a little different. There's a lot more seriousness about this game because of the USA versus the world. This USA team is directly part of USA basketball. So they're basically in the same family tree as our senior national men's team, also known as the Olympic team, with the NBA guys. So there's a lot of pride to represent, more so now than ever before, to represent USA. And the world team, on the other hand, takes their role very seriously. And the USA has dominated, probably won 2 out of every 3. But the world team has had some success throughout the years. And this team, this game tonight, I think, should be a very evenly matched game. Unlike the McDonald's game or the Jordan game, which is just a joke.
Yeah, it's kind of like an all-star game, right? It's a lot of dunks. And
it's not even that.
No.
It's not even an all-star game. I mean, it's a farce. Is what it is, because the guys just won't guard each other. So
this, I'm guessing here, there's a little bit of the, no one wants to get shown up, and you get some actual competitive blood.
It is, I think, because of the USA versus the world nature. Yeah. And there's a tradition here about that. And also, this is the first time, or one of the very first times, that NBA teams, this is sanctioned by the NBA, so tonight, behind the benches, you'll see a lot of guys, middle-aged guys that look like NBA scouts, and that's what they are.
I want to ask you about that. You said they don't want to guard each other.
Yeah.
This was maybe a year ago. I was listening to someone. It might have been Jalen Rose who was talking about this.
Yeah.
The AAU culture of there's always another game.
Yes.
And these guys are all buddies now. That no one, the Kobe Bryant, the Michael Jordan, I will rip your heart out mentality, that the way that youth basketball is being run now is killing that because of what you said. No one wants to compete.
Well, we have a big country, so we have a lot of good basketball. We do. We really do. But, and I was asking Paul Biancardi, our recruiting analyst, who I'll be working the game with tonight, to your point, who are the killers? Who are the competitors? Who are the guys out here that no matter whether it's a scrimmage last night at the Blazers practice facility or the game tonight or pickup game in some park, are out here and they will try to rip your throat out. And there's not that many of those guys, and they're few and far between, unfortunately. These kids are as skilled as they've ever been in my, and I've been around this game now going on 35-40 years. But yeah, the killer instinct, the Patrick Ewings, the Isaiah Thomases, all the guys you think of as the competitors through the years, not quite the same.
I know you follow the international game closely. Where are they now? I know they've obviously caught up to the U.S. game by leaps and bounds over the years. Where is that now?
62 international guys going to be in the NBA playoffs. Pretty good. 120 were on rosters. A fifth of the league are international guys. And the beauty of international basketball, as it's grown closer together, like the world has shrunk basketball-wise, is there's no longer the mentality that, oh, they're soft Europeans.
Yeah.
Like Nurkic. Look at him. He's good. Yeah. If I'm going out in Portland tonight,
he's tough.
By the way, his dad was a, I don't know if you guys noticed.
It's like a cop, right?
7 feet, 400 pounds.
Giant.
Was a riot police officer. He worked like the soccer matches. So Nurkic is, he's not soft.
He's not soft. I agree with you. But at the same time.
He's goofy.
Yeah, there is this, I don't want to call it a soft element about him, but
no, I know.
He's always getting hit in the face. He's always dramatic sort of
European flair, as we call it.
There is, they're good actors. I can pantomime this to you guys, but the listeners won't understand. Like, there'll be a foul called and they'll put their hands over their mouth.
Right.
I can't believe you just called it on me. No, but Nurkic is a unique guy, but the soft Euro is, the real skinny, soft guy. That's out the window now. You got guards. You got small forwards. You got big guys. You got finesse guys. You got a whole bunch of
The number one pick may be the kid from Spain, right?
Yeah, he's from Slovenia.
But he's playing in Spain.
Yeah. Doncic, Luka Doncic. He'll be 1, 2, or 3. And my description of him is part Gordon Hayward, part Manu Ginobili. He's got the Gordon Hayward athleticism, which is not great, but good enough for the NBA. But he's got the brain of Ginobili. He is an incredibly smart player for his age, and he's 6'8", 220, and he's not a point guard, but he can play like a point guard.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, great talking to you. This was really fun.
Loved it. Loved coming up here, guys, and always love to come to Portland. It's a great city.
Thank you. Fran Fraschilla from ESPN right there. We'll be right back. We'll get you set up for Game 1, Blazers-Pelicans next on The Fan.
This is a Nike Hoops Summit edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
All right, thanks to Fran Fraschilla.
You all right over there?
It's a hard name to pronounce. Fran Fraschilla Nice guy.
Say it three times fast.
Frank Fraschilla, Frank Fraschilla, Frank Fraschilla.
There you go.
In your face.
Red leather. What is it? Red leather, yellow leather.
Hashtag El Rapo.
The human torch was denied
Hashtag
a bank
the
loan.
Rop. That's right. Don't look at me like that, Dusty.
Hey, Fan Man
is here. We're at the Nike Hoop Summit, and Fan Man from the morning show will be on the call with Jason Swigard. The action begins at 6:30 in about 35 minutes. I hear you have a new producer.
Yes, we do. Uncle Buck.
Has he started yet?
Yeah, Uncle Buck. Ryan Buckley is his name.
So you hate him already?
Guy? Oh, yeah.
Uncle Buck, how old is he?
He's my age. He's,
how old are you?
33. I turn 34 next month.
You old bastard.
I know. It's great.
I haven't seen you in a long time.
I know. I miss you. Miss you. Miss you too,
miss
big
your
guy.
Musk.
Yeah.
So where'd this guy come from? We have a new personality on the fans.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
It is exciting. And he came in, guns a-blazing, for Weekend Would You Rather, which is our little Friday morning element that we do.
I listen when I'm taking the kids to school.
No, you don't.
I do.
But he came in, guns a-blazing. He's going to fit right in. He was just easing his way into it. You know how it is. You worked the board at one point. You never did.
No.
It's like
he picked up an accent.
I feel like he's doing the Jason Sudeikis, the soccer coach.
Oh. It's learning how to run the board. I'm very sick right now.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't shake your hand.
I'm trying to think.
Oh,
what...
that's right. We didn't.
It's fine.
Perfect.
Did not shake your hand.
Okay, so new guy. And who do you think he'll get along with least, you or Cam?
Because
it's always one or the other.
Now, we got a text this morning that you guys had a segment on media fights.
Yeah.
So I think that he's a very likable person, and he'll show up on time.
That's an upgrade.
That's a step in the right direction.
Which means that that won't bother Cam, like, really at all.
Yeah.
So
Cam expects you to be on time.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really that much he's asking.
No,
is it?
It really isn't. But, yeah, we were talking about media fights in Portland, and we said, which one? Because the Brewers guy, right?
Right.
He punched a fellow reporter at a Brewers game.
That's right.
And so we were saying most likely to do that, and I threw out Cam. And not only would Cam be most likely to do that, he would also murder whoever else that he fought in the media wars.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a rivalry?
No.
You really don't.
We're looking to start
because
one.
I know Nigel and Cam, Nigel and Cam are buddies.
Yeah, they're like the nicest guys in the world.
Sheldon's a great guy.
Yeah.
I mean, who? We got to start a fight, man. We need some more action.
We need to go
action.
Anchor, man.
I just figure like
if, action team 80.
Look, in all honesty, if we get in a fight with another media entity, whether it be radio, news, print, or TV, I feel like team 1080. We're going to be tough to defeat.
Yeah.
I feel like we've got some... We've got the ability. If it goes into a blood feud, I feel like we're coming out on top.
Especially now that Donlin's at WGN.
Yeah.
And he left because he'd fight dirty.
Yeah, the hockey
He'd fight
guy.
Dirty.
You know, he's got the reach.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really do like 1080's odds in a battle royale.
Yeah, we're doing all right.
Yeah.
All right, we got a break. We got the club coming up next, but it's only an abbreviated version. I have a since it's Friday the 13th, I have a scary story.
Rob's going to tell spooky ghost stories around the campfire.
For those of you listening on the radio, which is everybody, Isaac was just doing spooky fingers at Sue.
He was.
Look, it's Andrew Nemec. I spy Andrew Nemec. Let's play it before we go to break.
All the celebrities are out.
Yeah, let's spot the celebrities.
All right.
Okay, go.
Fran Fraschilla.
Okay. Now you're up. Now Suk's up.
Well, I'm going Nemec. That's all I got.
Can't do that. Who's that guy?
Who's that guy?
Who's that guy? I don't know. Bol Bol's here. I know that. I saw him. And he's enormous.
Boy, there are no celebrities.
Have you noticed, too, Dusty, real quick, have you noticed the disturbing trend in basketball? The short shorts are coming back?
Yeah.
Boy. That's a whole. There's a if you come tonight or watch this, you watch it on TV. There's a lot of thigh.
Right.
There's a lot of high inner thigh.
And
it's disturbing.
Team USA scrimmage last night at the practice facility, and I went down and watched it.
Yeah.
And they played a group of college athletes from the area.
Yeah.
And one of the college athletes hit a defensive stance.
Yeah.
And I thought we were going to have manhood out.
Yeah.
Poking out the bottom.
It is.
That's the trend now in all of fashion. Everything's skin tight now.
What is that?
If you got it, flaunt it.
I guess. Like, right? It's just, there's
the baggies out. I tell you what it is. Baggies out.
Baggies
out. Baggies out.
It's done, huh?
Yeah, you got to go tight. Yeah.
Can we
go show out? You got to accentuate.
But you know,
can we go tight and long? Like, Myers Leonard is guilty of this. Myers Leonard, like, goes, there's a lot of leg there that he's showing off.
But you know what they're doing now, too, is the short shorts, but they'll wear the leggings underneath.
Yeah.
And that is a bizarre look.
It's strange.
That's really weird. You don't need to do that.
Look at Bol Bol out there. He's wearing like boxer briefs.
Yes, he is.
It's like 4 inches above the
knee. But you know what? Those shorts on any of us goes down below our knee.
That is true. He's like 7'3".
Like, those are pants to me. And they go 6 inches above his knee.
Can't get that man some longer shorts?
They don't make them.
Boy, that's an ugly shot. Are you going to bring me on the broadcast tonight?
Absolutely.
I'll give my hot takes about
There's two kids going to Kansas, so we'll just get your homer take out of it.
Saw that.
Rob was giving him 20s earlier.
Oh, there's Roy Williams. Is that Roy Williams?
No, that's not. That's just a gray-haired old man.
Oh.
There is a bunch of college basketball coaches that are going to be here, though. Could be an awkward moment between Rob and some Kansas recruits.
There's probably going to be a few rappers.
I would like to think
so. Don't you think?
Yeah, maybe
courtside.
Lil Wayne and Lil Rob side by side.
I think Rob's $20 handshakes are the least of Kansas's concerns right now. There's this thing called the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Plausible deniability, my man.
Yeah.
Ooh, we got a break.
Yeah, we got to go. Club 1080 is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.